Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we have a weekly news roundup, a round of Ho Jeopardy, our review of Let Him Go, a few listener questions, and our main topic this week is how our movie and TV habits have changed in 2020. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'll be one of your hosts, my other host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing tonight?
Good. You know, everybody, Amanda Sink has not quit the show. She, unfortunately, don't get depressed or excited, whichever way you were leaning there, John. She, unfortunately, right before the show, had a huge storm come through. So she technically doesn't have power right now. She could pop on at some point throughout this episode, but for right now, it's going to be John and myself, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
I wasn't listening. What?
This is the problem with you.
Okay.
So here's the deal. I'm sure everybody has heard by now, right? Huge news for our country and the world. Huge. Huge, you might say. Honestly, it could change things definitively for us all going forward. That news is that Ryan Reynolds' Free Guy and Kenneth Branagh's Death on the Nile have both been pushed back to next year, leaving only Wonder Woman as a last chance to save theaters this year.
God damn it!
I think that's all that really happened this past week, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I can't think of anything else that's worth mentioning.
No, definitely not. Nobody needs any further trigger. That is enough trigger to make us all sad, because I was really looking forward to some real movies coming out in theater. Not that Let Him Go. Very good movie. We're going to talk about it later. But you know what I mean. Blockbuster populist entertainment. I was kind of looking forward to some.
You know, it would have been nice to actually have a reason to go to my fancy theater, or any theater, or something, but, you know, it's not going to work out for me, man.
What's your bet on Wonder Woman at this point? It's set for Christmas as of the recording of this podcast. By the time you hear this, it's probably already been changed, but as of today, it's Christmas. We're fully expecting it to move, but what's your bet?
My bet is got a 30% chance of staying put.
30%? All right.
Yeah.
That feels very optimistic for John Davenport. Is this more like wishful thinking? Like 30% of you is wishing this would happen?
Well, I got to imagine that 2020 has been a complete shit show. Mm-hmm. And just about everything else that I put higher odds on has completely fallen apart. So, yeah, I'm going to go with like the lowest number I can possibly go with the amount of hope that I have left, which is about 30%, and say that. That's what I'm going for.
Okay. All right. Well, how about some other news? How about that? We've got other stuff that happened.
All right. Hit me with it.
All right. Here is our news roundup for this week. Wentworth Miller confirmed he was done with Prison Break forever. His co-stars congratulated him. Yeah. That happened. He's not doing it. And for the reasons being, he doesn't want to play straight characters anymore. He's a gay man. He wants to only play gay characters. That's his mission, and so shall it be.
Okay.
Gerard Butler is returning as Mike Banning yet again for Night Has Fallen. Vin Diesel is returning for a sequel to Bloodshot. Paramount has asked Mud director Jeff Nichols to handle a spinoff of A Quiet Place. So we're going to get like a quiet universe, so to speak. Ontario is kicking movie ratings to the curb and instead will simply inform parents of content. And if it's meant for adults, Johnny Depp has stepped down from Grindelwald in Fantastic Beasts 3. But don't feel so bad, because he received his full paycheck and Mads Mikkelsen has taken his spot. Tenet is coming to home video on December 15th, so people that didn't want to risk the theater will be able to see it in December, and we might have some giveaway copies when it does, so keep listening. Also, Castle Rock and The Outsider have both been canceled, but on a positive note, Umbrella Academy has been renewed for season 3 on Netflix, and beloved Jeopardy host Alex Trebek has passed away at the age of 80. Of all of that, what really stood out to you?
The two things that stood out to me the most was Umbrella Academy getting a third season. Thankfully, that's happening, because the second season was pretty strong. But I'm very surprised by The Outsider being canceled.
That's nuts, right? Why would they cancel it? Like, that was well-received, well-reviewed, critically acclaimed, all the good things, and people watched it. So I don't understand that decision. I really don't.
Well, the only thing I can think of is that from this point on with The Outsider, it's all a toss-up as to what the story is going to be about, because that would mean they were going to put so much more faith into Jason Bateman and what his view of what the story is supposed to be moving forward, because the book essentially ends where the show ends. So I didn't see a way for them to create more after that.
I'll be honest with you. As much as I love that first season, I was good with it being done. I'm just surprised that HBO wouldn't want to exploit it, because it was a huge success for them. But apparently not as much as we thought, because they said, no, we're done.
Well, they are shopping it around to other streaming services and networks.
Yeah, I mean, that's great and all. I prefer it was on HBO, because then I don't have to change the channel. That's all. And it's just odd to me. It's just odd. I mean, they brought Big Little Lies back, and that wasn't worthy of a second season. And at least this one, I could have followed that creature again, you know, or maybe in another body or something. Or maybe they find the race of that creature or something. That could have been cool. Oh, well. I find it fascinating that Ontario is getting rid of movie ratings. And I kind of want to bring that up, because where we are as a culture, society, like where we are right now, do you feel like we need to get away from ratings? I mean, we basically on our TV, we have ratings on TV, but everything's typically based on, here's the content. This is adult fare. This is not adult fare. Is that what you feel like it should be like in terms of movie theater? Like, should we get away from ratings altogether, or you think it's a good plan for parents and whatnot?
I actually kind of like the idea of getting away from ratings, because at least this way, and simplifying them to a degree, because at least this way it opens up the audience to more things that would make it easier to show people. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, PG-13, like what's the real difference but a couple words, and yet you can have stuff that is preteen or kid oriented that still be sort of PG-13 and make it work. So I don't know. It seems to me like the rating system is a great way to overly categorize things, and I'm just about had it with categorizing or labeling everything. Let's simplify it a bit again.
I'm all for that. Here's what I just honestly think: parents have gotten to the point, like, I didn't pay much attention to ratings when I was a kid. My mom didn't pay much attention. You know, she just, okay, what's that going to, is it going to have any sex? All right, you can go see it then. As long as it didn't have nudity and whatnot, she was fine with most everything. And I did the same thing with my kids. So I just feel like most parents, maybe I'm looking at it just from my point of view, I feel like most parents do it that way. You know, they determine it based on their own preferences, because every kid is different. Every kid has a different maturity level. Every kid has a different ability to understand certain thematic elements.
You know, I'm trying to think about my coming up in the 80s and whatnot. And yeah, I was always surprised when friends of mine would be like, well, I can't watch that. Well, why not? Because it's PG-13. Okay. Is there something wrong with PG-13? Well, my parents said I can't watch that yet. So like, yeah, I was always surprised by it, because my parents gave us a lot of free reign to watch what we wanted to watch. Hell, I was watching horror movies. Like, there was like nobody's business. So, I like it. I like the idea of simplifying everything.
I do too. Anything else in all that news that really got you excited?
Well, I'm actually just surprised that Wentworth Miller is still talking about Prison Break. Like, how did that come back up again?
I think he just wanted to take care of it. You know, I think he wanted to kind of put it to bed. It seems like it's something that was really bothering him, that, you know, this is a stance he wanted to take. And a lot of people have been talking about bringing Prison Break back for over the years. I mean, they just had a resurgence, 3 years ago, I think it was.
It feels like about 3 years ago.
Yeah, and they were looking to do that again. And I think he just wanted to put it to bed. I'm done. I'm out. That's all.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I know that Prison Break was really hard on Wentworth Miller and his career. So the fact that he is...
How could it be hard on it? It was his career. That's his career. I mean, he's written a couple movies, and he's been in a couple movies, The Loft. And I know he did Captain, whatever the hell it was, Captain Cool, which was hilarious and weird at the same time. And he did a fantastic job with that. But I mean, really, Prison Break is what made him. So how could that be too hard on him? I don't understand.
Well, he went through a whole period where he got really sick over the physical, you know, needs. He had the meat as that character and working for Fox, and it really had a huge mental toll on him.
Okay, I didn't know that. So now you made me feel like a jackass. I appreciate that. Thank you for that heads up.
You're welcome.
World, be careful when John's around. But on positive note, we are getting more Mike Banning. I'm okay with that. You could do whatever has fallen. I'll go see those movies. I don't remember anything about them. All I know is he's a Secret Service agent, apparently you should never get a president near this guy because that makes it almost certain that they're going to be attacked.
Right.
But apparently they just keep giving him the job. I still like those movies. Gerard Butler was really fun in those movies. The last one was a lot of fun. I'm good with that. I really don't care about Bloodshot, though. I just don't care.
Bloodshot was a little bit of a disappointment just because it was...
A little bit?
Well, I was being nice.
That was the movie where it went directly to home video right after everybody got COVIDed out and we're stuck at home. We're in lockdown. We're like, it's going to be like going to a theater and you pay like whatever it was, $20 or whatever. And then you're just sad that you spent that much money on that thing.
That sounds about right. Yeah. It feels like 15 years ago, so I'm not exactly sure. And like, I don't know how inflation worked back then, but yeah, it feels about right.
Yeah, it does. All right, well, let's move on to Whole Jeopardy now. We're going to do a game this week in honor of Alex Trebek. And I just, before we even do our game now, obviously Amanda was going to be part of it. Now it's just going to be John and I. So it's not as exciting to do trivia with just two people, but we're going to do it. we're going to make this work because it's not anyone's fault that, you know, she has no power, but we're still going to blame her. So thanks a lot, Amanda. We really appreciate this.
We had to call an audible.
Yeah, but I got to say, in terms of losses, I know a lot of people don't think of a game show host as being that imperative to their life. But I got to tell you, man, he was a guy who always, to me, felt like he was encouraging knowledge. So I always respected him.
Oh, absolutely. He was also the king of the nerd burns, which was interesting. Like, he was always there for a good laugh. At the same time, though, his whole demeanor and stance was just so fun to watch on television. You know, do you remember that story where, like, he's 76 or 77, and he had to chase down some guy in a hotel room in his underwear because the guy was trying to break into his room?
No. What?
Yeah.
Are you making this up? Is this like some
I'm not making this up.
John Fantasy like sex dream that you had, and then you're like, that's not really Alex Trebek. That was my mind.
All right, it's possible I'm making this up, but it was about 3 or 4 years ago. Like some guy tried to break into
something,
his hotel room or something, and Alex Trebek had to chase him down in his freaking underwear, and you know, caught him, and they apprehended this guy, and it was kind of funny because it was like, here we are thinking Alex Trebek is this game show host who does mostly like, you know, fun quiz questions that are brain teasers or whatever. And yet he's at 76, pretty physically fit enough to like chase a guy down and tackle him in his underwear.
That's great. I mean, that's tough. He's a tough guy. He had knowledge and apparently he was very fast on his feet.
He had no clothes encumbering him.
What is nimble?
Alex Trebek.
Okay, you ready to try this thing?
Let's try it out.
Okay, so we each have two trivia questions. We're going to do them Jeopardy style, which means you give the answer, and then the other host tries to guess the question, and we'll go from there. We're going to try and have as much fun as we can. So you are second. I go first, according to the order, I believe, that's here.
Okay.
Mostly, I just want to be first. Haha, suck it. All right, so here's the answer. Here's Aaron's trivia for 200. You ready?
Ready.
You guys listening ready?
Yes.
Okay. This Vietnam vet inspired the world with his many long-running achievements, as well as his insatiable appetite for 23 flavors.
Who is Baskin-Robbins?
John.
Who is Rambo?
John. Who is Forrest Gump?
Oh, Forrest Gump.
23 flavors. Dr. Pepper. Long-running.
Oh, right.
Come on, man.
I was trying to think about in reference to you, and you would actually go for Rambo, and I was trying to be funny with the Baskin-Robbins thing, but...
Well, I mean, funny usually makes people laugh, and I didn't hear... Even the people listening were like, I didn't think that was funny. But go ahead, you know, it's...
But they're laughing right now.
So are they? Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they've already turned it off. All right, what's your first one?
According to Stan Lee, this famous alter ego's name was changed for television because the original name was considered too effeminate.
Who is David Banner?
There you go. It was originally, we all know it's Bruce Banner, but yes, they changed it to David Banner.
Was Bruce too feminine?
Bruce was too effeminate.
Why?
Lou Ferrigno said so.
Well, I mean, who can argue with him? He's pretty masculine, right? He just roughs up. I mean,
it's not like he can hear you if you argue with him.
Now that was funny. That one, everybody except those that have hearing issues are going to laugh at. All right, next one. Ready?
Ready.
This Scottish, aka British actor, who almost stole Hugh Jackman from us as the originally cast Wolverine. We can all thank Tom Cruise for this saving grace.
Oh, what the hell is this jackass's name?
That's the question, isn't it? Do 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 do.
I can see his face. I know he was in Tom Cruise's movie. I know he was also in Hemlock Grove.
You're close. I don't even know who he is, but you got to give an answer. Come on. This is a very short podcast. This is not 4 hours long. Time's up.
Yeah.
You ready?
Who is
Doug Ray Scott?
That's Doug Ray Scott. That's right.
I literally just said that. You said
Doug Ray Scott.
Whatever. You repeated it like what I said wasn't the answer. You're like, oh, no, I got it. No, that's not how it works. Right. You lost.
All right. Anyhow.
I beat you.
I knew who he was because I told you the other stuff he was in. So
that's cool. You still didn't get it right. You know, I don't think that works on Jeopardy. Alex, I know who he is, but I can't actually give you the right question.
Right.
It's all good. As long as you know who he is, we're good.
I know who he is. I can tell you his weird face because he actually aged like crap, Sue. So, all right. This massive nickname was given to famous Japanese baseball player Hideki Matsui early in his career.
Oh, do this one again. Say it again.
This massive nickname was given to famous Japanese baseball player Hideki Matsui early in his career.
I don't know.
Godzilla. What is Godzilla?
Why? I should have just said that because I knew you had to have a Godzilla one on here at some point, right? That's the only thing you can think of. John, what are your top 10 movies? Well, Godzilla versus Mothra. Godzilla versus the...
Well, I can't remember much of any other names anymore, so all I got is Godzilla's names in my head.
I should have just guessed that to begin with. Nice job. All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, that does that. You know what? Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all of the expenses are from our own pockets, and Patreon fans help support their favorite podcast. Once you sign up, you get immediate access to all the content in your respective tier. Now you know what that is. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. And we also have the winners of our spell giveaway. They are Marvin Sewell, Jim Stein, Gal Nolan, Lauren Williams, Paula Francine. Be sure to come back next week as we're going to have another contest for copies of Chick Fight. It's a real movie, by the way.
Chick Fight?
Yeah, it's a real movie. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Are we? All right, Aaron, so you checked out Let Him Go. And for those who don't know, Let Him Go is Jonathan and Martha Kent. They're back together again.
It's true.
A retired sheriff and his wife, because apparently she's retired also or something, grieving over the death of their son and set out to find their only grandson. Of course, this stars Diane Lane and Kevin. Jonathan Kent stands in front of a tornado Costner. You check this out for us. This has done so well in the theaters, given the circumstances. What do you think about what about this movie do you think is drawing people to the theater?
Well, first off, I want to let everybody know it is not Taken with Jonathan and Martha Kent. Everybody I've talked to about this movie thought that's what the movie was, because they're going after their grandson and kind of their grandson's stepfather has basically taken his wife and the child to his parents' house in North Dakota, or his mother's house in North Dakota, long, long way away, and he's abusive, and they want to get him away from that. But they're not going in there all, you know, cracking skulls and taking names or anything. It's very much a somber thriller revolving around accepting grief, moving on, because they still have a hard time dealing with the loss of their son. So their grandson is their only connection to him in many ways. That there's this contemplation of when is it time to let go? When should you refuse to get involved? There even is some discussion on their age and how old they are. Can they even take care of this child? There's a lot of really heavy themes involved that I really don't feel come across in the marketing. But I think people wanted to see it because they thought it was going to be like this action thriller, which there is some action in, and there definitely are some thrills. Like, there's some intense scenes, but it's much more a drama with thriller overtones or undertones.
Okay, so what would you say was the prevailing feelings in this then? Because it sounds like it kind of goes all over the place. So is it the tension, or is it more about the grief that these characters go through?
I think it's more about the grief to me. I mean, it just felt like it's very much about parents struggling to get over the grief of their son, and then wanting to hold on to the promise of what they could provide the grandson. And then it boils down to, I mean, that's like the first half of the movie. And the second half is, we need to get our grandson out of this obviously horrible situation. How do we do that? The law's not on our side because we're just grandparents. So we're not even, you know, that's not even our daughter. You know, that's our son's ex-wife, just our son's widow. So it becomes, how can they possibly get this kid out of this situation? And how do they convince the daughter, or the, you know, not their daughter, their son's widow, to come with them? So there's a lot to it. And how it unfolds is a lot more of a surprise than you might think. So I don't want to give too much away.
All right. So you've got two powerhouses of acting. You have Kevin Costner and you have Lane. Like, how do their performances compare and how do they stand up?
Okay. So Diane Lane is the star of this movie. Kevin Costner is definitely with her along the way, but she is the one that kind of illuminates and energizes every scene, because I really feel like Kevin Costner is doing that same quiet, resolved, retired lawman type he's been doing in recent years.
Right.
It's kind of what he's been. I mean, it's just like Yellowstone and a lot of other stuff that he's done. It's kind of the same role over and over. It reminded me a lot of the way Clint Eastwood played Unforgiven, just very quiet, resolute. And, you know, it's fun to watch those two. I think they play off each other well. Diane Lane, though, is what kept me engaged the most. And just her sheer determination, her willpower, her refusal to give up. It just really felt just like a powerful performance to me. But Leslie Manville, I got to mention, is Blanche Weeboy. She's the son's widow's new husband's mother. Okay. Hope you can follow that. Uh-huh. Where they went to live. She's fierce. She is this calculated, vicious, even more determined woman. And you can kind of see where she's coming from, because she also has her own grief that she deals with, but she doesn't play around. She doesn't dance around anything like Diane Lane's character does. She gets right to the point, and her point is at times sadistic. Also, Jeffrey Donovan's in here and he's always fun.
You know what? If $10 is full price of admission, what would you give this movie?
$7.50, man. I really, really enjoyed it. This is definitely worth going to the theater if you feel safe.
That sounds really great.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to go to some new releases that are coming out. And the first one is Come Away. It comes out on November 10th. Peter Pan and his sister Alice embark on adventures to Neverland and Wonderland.
Also on November 10th, we have Freaky. After swapping bodies with a deranged serial killer, a young girl in high school discovers she has less than 24 hours before it becomes permanent.
I think that looks fantastic. That's a Vince Vaughn movie. Ah!
I really want to go see that.
That's going to be worth a trip to the theater. Transference, A Love Story, comes out on November 10th on Video On Demand. A secret threatens a love affair between two nurses in London. What?
On VOD, November 10th, based on... Well, let me tell you the name of the movie first. Jeez. The Dark Divide. Based on the story of renowned butterfly expert Robert Pyle, who embarked on a life-changing trek through one of America's most important unprotected wildlands in the summer of 1995.
And lastly, Chick Fight comes out November 13th. Who could say no to that title? Video on demand, and we are going to have some giveaways. 5 digital copies we're giving away next week, so come back to our show next week. Which Amanda will definitely be here as long as she has power. It's about a down-and-out woman who turns her life around after joining an all-female underground fight club. Watch the trailer. It looks fun.
That sounds like a blast.
Oh, man. It really does. It looks fun. All right. Let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Okay, so what we're going to do is we've got some listener questions we're going to hit, but our main topic this week is this year. I mean, to an extent, 2021's right around the corner. We're a little over a month away. So let's just have a little discussion on how your TV and movie habits have changed. I mean, yours as well as other people's, and we'll have some couple listener comments I'll throw in there as well. But how have you changed how you watch movies and TV over the past year?
You know, it's interesting because I thought at the beginning of this whole time that I'd be able to sit down and watch just about anything I wanted to, and movies and television, and really just get into it and just bang out a whole bunch of stuff that I've been meaning to watch. But unfortunately, what I've found is that I would do the whole sitting down and starting to watch something, but then immediately I'd be like, I gotta go in the other room. And then all of a sudden I'm not watching anything anymore. Like, it's a lot of it's like, I've narrowed down to just like the amount of anxiety that I've been carrying around ever since this whole thing started.
I found, I don't know if you found this, but I have found that I, for a long period of time, I was watching a ton of TV shows. Right, I think I've talked about this on the show, but I was watching a ton of TV shows. Everybody that I knew was catching up on all the TV shows that they'd always wanted to catch up on, because you're basically locked down. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to watch, but I got to a point where I got burned out and actually swore off TV for a while. Like, I wasn't watching any TV shows for probably 2 months, month and a half, something like that. I just refused to watch. I only wanted to watch movies because I'd seen too much TV. And I think what I realized this year is, we're at the point where there's too much content. Great problem to have, but I firmly believe, I realized this year we were at the point where we have too much content.
I think you've had that theory going on for a while. I think each time we do our television thing, you said there's just too much going on out there.
There is.
But this is, I think, the first time we're honestly faced with it. And, you know, one of the things that I found to get me to start watching something was I would put on a television show that I hadn't seen before while I was playing a video game, or while I was doing some drawing or whatever else, cleaning the house. And if I found that I was forced to sit down and watch it, then I would just stop everything else and let myself get sucked into something. But that was the way I was filtering out what I wanted to watch versus what I just thought I can put on.
Now, do you feel like because of this pandemic, because of what we've been doing, I'm sorry, is that a trigger word for people? I don't know. People are just sick of that word. Ah. Do you feel like you've tried more things than you would have tried before, or not really?
I think I am trying some more things. I'm willing a little bit more to take bigger risks on things. And I'm also throwing out some of the reviews I've gotten from people on certain shows to be like, let's just go ahead and see what this is all about. You know, I've heard nothing but garbage about it. Let me see if it's garbage or not. But also, I'm finding that if I'm gravitating to something, it either masterfully takes me out of myself and into a new world, or it is just something that's like so much chicken soup for the soul that I can't help but watch it.
And where are you at with, I'm really curious about this, where are you at with your three episodes? You've always had this rule where you'll give a TV show three episodes and then you're out. Where are you now that you have all this content and now you're home so much? Where are you at now with that?
Well, that's the problem. I'm not at home so much. See,
well, you're in Florida. Everything's open there.
Even since the beginning of lockdown, I still had to go to work every day. So that was part of the reason why I was constantly feeling this anxiety, is because everybody else, my wife, friends, everybody like, we get to stay home. It's great. It's awesome. And here I am. I have to go into the office every single day and like worry about what it is, what's going on. But my three episode rule still sticks. Occasionally I'll modify it, because there's been a couple things where I'd watch the first episode and be like, nope. Or on the flip side of it, because I added this whole other way of watching it, which is where I'll be doing something else. If it turns out to be something that that interests me, I will give it one episode and be like, oh wait, I actually have to pay attention to this. Let me come back to this on a different day and find something else that I don't have to pay attention to and watch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, and I'm glad that you're still doing that, because I think I'm at like 20 minutes now at this point, where unless I'm already invested in some way, it's an actor I like, it's a creator I like, it's a writer I like, it's something, I just, man, you get like 20 minutes to maybe a whole episode, and you better hook me by the end of that episode. I'm not doing three anymore. There's just too much stuff. There's so many other things I want to watch. And I'm also kind of burned out on, not so much I'm burned out on TV, but I don't want to spend 8 hours to get the point of the story anymore, especially when so many things are getting canceled. I don't know if that's going to be coming back, and there's just too many cliffhangers. I don't want to deal with that. So I don't give as much time as I used to. I really feel like through this year, through 2020, has taught me to be less patient with content. And or, you know, I used to, I'm going to give you a fair 3-4 episodes. I'm going to see where this thing goes. Because I kind of like that one joke they told in the first 5 minutes, and I'm hoping they can repeat that.
Right.
And then it doesn't happen, and I just feel like I wasted 4 hours. But I would end up watching the whole season just because I felt obligated. I don't really do that anymore. Like, I have a really hard time now, currently, finishing a TV show if I'm not really enjoying it. I think Utopia was one where I did not enjoy it that much, but I kept waiting for it to get better. That was one of the rare exceptions where I saw it through to the end, and I'm like, wow, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
I should have quit earlier because I really don't care where it goes from here. You know, and yeah.
I watched Utopia because you told me that it was something that was right up my alley, mm-hmm. which up until they killed off, I was like, okay, what am I doing now?
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. At the same time, that's a show that I see a lot of potential with. And I think I think I'm okay with watching something that has a lot of potential, but at the same time, I don't know if it's weird because I'm in a weird position where, like, I want to give it a season two. And if it gets a season two, that's when I'm going to definitely enact my 3-episode rule. Mm. Because if it doesn't catch me, or if it doesn't tell me, you know, prove to me that I need to stick around in season two, then I gotta go. But another one for me is Raised by Wolves. Now, that's something that I started watching the first episode. It was one of the few things that I sat down. I'm like, I'm just going to pay attention to this. And when I was paying attention to it, I kind of got sucked into the whole story. On one end, I was like, this is totally not for me because I don't like this whole overt religious feel or overt atheist feel to it. But at the same time, the characters were really interesting. The world it was building was really interesting. And it just felt like something new to me. And I'm really happy I stuck with it. But if season two doesn't give me anything that knocks my socks off after that season finale, then I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like I learned the opposite lesson. Like, Utopia told me, don't stick it out anymore.
Right.
there's just too much. And here's what I found, and I really believe this. Now, I don't know if it's because of just being 2020, and it was just there's so much content. I've watched so much. I didn't find nearly as much that was memorable this year. Like, we're coming up on where we start putting together our best of 2020 lists, and I... Granted, I understand theaters have had to struggle. So a lot of the big movies we haven't been able to see, we've still seen a lot of movies, you know. But in terms of all the TV shows and all the movies I've watched, not a lot to me is really standing out as, wow, that's remarkable. That's very memorable.
Yeah. I'm running into the same problem where, you know, I'm actually kind of worried about that episode just because I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
All the things that were number one. Godzilla vs. Kong. John, that didn't actually come out this year. Did in my world. Number one.
I just watched the 1969 version again just because I knew it was supposed to happen.
Maybe we should include movies and TV shows that we rewatch this year. Like,
right.
Our top 10 of 2020 actually includes Prison Break.
There you go.
Because I rewatched all of Prison Break. Yeah, I got through all of that show.
It's going to be Schitt's Creek for 15 times because I think I've watched that 15 times through already this year.
Seriously?
Oh my God. It's one of those things that's like chicken soup for the soul. Anytime I start feeling a little down or I just want to hang around with people that I really like, it's that show. And it's a great, cute show. And I'm glad that somebody created it. It really is.
I'm still in. Too many people are telling me if I don't watch it, I'm not an American or something. So I just haven't watched it.
Well, it's made by Canadians. So that's not.
I still with the argument they make, you know, America, they take everything for their own.
Yeah, they take everything over. So you know what? I had heard nothing but bad things about Titans.
Yeah. Is that coming on HBO Max yet?
It is on HBO Max. And I started watching.
I do want to watch that.
The elevator pitch for it is take all the cool characters and then talk about their sidekicks instead. I actually like that because there's actually a great cartoon. They sort of did the same thing called Young Justice. Mm-hmm. That's also on HBO Max. And I love that cartoon. So I was really interested to see what they do with this show. And it has that first season of it is one of those things where it's you can tell it sort of has a Berlanti-esque feel to it because he is involved. But it's definitely like he knew where he was going to put his money, which is into some actors, the costumes, and that's about it. Because the rest of it is like, you know, just an excuse to give these characters the ability to say fuck.
There is a lot of that going on.
There is a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
A lot of the scuttlebutt I got is that people were upset about, you know, the character of Starfire. They're like, why is she black? I don't care what her race is. She is a stunning, stunning woman.
That was a concern for people? Oh, because in the comics. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, in the comics, she's orange, mostly, you know? And she's got the hair, and she's an alien, and she's supposed to be like a cat race of people, or they came from cats, like we came from apes or whatever. But the actress that they're using for that character is absolutely stunning. And she is, anytime she's on the screen, she's a lot of fun to watch.
I'm sure that's a very small portion of Twitter that is saying. That's one that I really want to watch, because Titans, I've heard, actually, it's a very, very good show. But on the same token, I heard Umbrella Academy was great. I don't like it. Doom Patrol, I was in for a little while, and then I got tired of that one. So, I mean, maybe those team, I'm just burned out on superhero team-up shows. Weird people, superhero team-up shows.
Well, Titans isn't weird, but Titans works.
Okay,
I'll check it out. I mean, it's worth it. Like the you'll notice where they don't spend money, though.
All right. Well, here we've got, I want some listener comments to kind of feed the conversation a little bit. Wayne Henderson says, I'm watching a lot more YouTube programs and some streaming series. Hardly any network TV garbage anymore. Do you watch a lot of, do you watch a lot of YouTube videos? I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos.
I'm watching a lot of different YouTube series. There's a show that I'm watching from on the Lightbright channel. It's this husband and wife who do off-roading Jeep stuff, because I suddenly want to do a lot of off-roading Jeep stuff.
Why not, you know? Do you have a Jeep?
Not yet. I mean, I have a Jeep, but it's not a Jeep.
This feels like a dangerous program to watch, my friend. This feels like an expensive program.
Oh, it really is, because I think this week I've been bored enough at work that I've built and rebuilt the Jeep that I'm going to buy. Or I'm sorry, the Jeep that I can't buy until God knows when, several times over. But yeah, that's a great show that I'm watching, and the couple is a lot of fun to watch and interesting. And then there's Binging with Babish is something that I watch a lot, just because I like cooking shows, and he has a great way of doing the whole cooking thing. Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff I watch. How about you?
I've watched a lot of, I've talked about it, Graham Norton. I've watched a ton of Graham Norton videos. I think I've seen every freaking celebrity interview he's done at this point. And yeah, just a lot of stuff on YouTube. But I will say, I completely agree with Wayne. I don't care about TV networks anymore. I think we've officially reached the point where, aside from The Blacklist, of course, shout out to all you listeners that listened to The Blacklist Exposed back this week. Aside from that, I don't care about any network TV shows. There's not a single one that I watch religiously besides The Blacklist.
There's not a single thing I'm watching on a network show that I can think of.
Streaming's the new cable, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it is a network show, I find it someplace else and I watch it.
Exactly. Because you know what? I think we can all agree on this, right? We're all done with commercials at this point.
Oh, my God.
We're done. We're just done.
If I'm on a vacation and I, you know, in a hotel room and I turn on the TV and I see a commercial, I instantly turn off the TV, because I'm like, what is this garbage and why am I putting up with it?
Exactly. I was watching, you know, because last week, I don't know if anybody heard, but there's a whole lot of election stuff going on. So I'd be watching the news, and there, because I haven't watched regular TV in forever, and there would be these things in between the talking and the numbers and everything else where people were trying to sell me stuff. And I'm just right. Like, I don't like this. What is this? Like on YouTube, I just hit skip ad and I don't have to watch this nonsense. What? And I'm pushing my remote and nothing happens. And I just feel like an idiot because it just won't go anywhere. And I can't do this on a regular basis again, ever.
The channels on YouTube where you can't skip the commercials make me crazy. And if I have to see that Umzu or Zupu commercial one more time, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. I'll take a Manscaped commercial. I'll take a Beard Brand commercial. But that Umzu dude, I am so over him.
I like Viagra ones, because those are always like, they're always in their 60s or 70s. And they're always very sad until they get the Viagra, and then they're just having the happiest days, skipping afterward, walking in the sunlight. I just find those to be, well, that's positive. I just feel like that's 2020 turning itself around right there.
Well, something doesn't turn it around there.
Jennifer Miller said, movie theaters closed, and that's my happy place. That's not been easy. Agreed. Since I'm going through the pandemic alone, I've binged a lot more than usual. I also have watched things I probably wouldn't have otherwise. I also got to rewatch and fall in love with movies and TV shows I saw before. Now, that's one thing I kind of want to mention. Something that gets lost, I think, for a lot of people is that this year, there are many people that are single or, you know, widowed or whatever, that are on their own and they're still in lockdown. People that didn't have to go to work like you, John. They had to work from home, whatever. I mean, and that has to be really, really difficult for a lot of people. I can't even imagine what that's like. And so you probably fall back into comfort TV a lot. To me, that's a happy place. Kind of why we watch Prison Break is just brings you back to peace of mind in many ways.
You know, I actually have a couple friends who are living single right now and dealing with being on their own a lot, and they're not okay. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And one of them we've had them over several times just to, you know, for a movie night or a pizza night or something, just to make sure that they are around people every now and again. And it is, I mean, they're one of them we've had like had them crying on our couch a couple times over just because of how stressed they've been. And it's just it's been a tough time. So I do feel for those people.
It's really difficult. And that's one reason why I keep advocating for, you know, not advocating. I want people to feel safe and do whatever feels right for you. But on the same token, I mean, a lot of things, by closing everything, for some people, that is the only social interaction they have or have access to.
Yeah.
And that's detrimental to a lot of people's psyche. So, you know, that's very complicated. And I'm with you, Jennifer. I mean, the movie theater is my happy place too. So when that's closed, I mean, I had actual anxiety. That's how much I love going to a movie theater. I mean, I go every single week because it is my escape the world place. I can deep plug and I can just get lost in that world for a couple hours and I forget about whatever the heck I'm going through. I can't do that at home. For whatever reason, it does not work the same for me at home. If I'm in a theater, it works every time. So mentally, that's hard for me. I mean, so I completely understand that. And now some theaters are open. You know, at least I've been able to see a new movie every week. It's not like a blockbuster or anything like that, but still new movies.
Well, the closest theaters to my house were both Regal, so they shut down.
Well, that's really sad. That's really sad. You know, speaking of, we should mention that we were talking about movie or TV habits. You know, we haven't been to the theater much this year. Has it impacted you? I mean, it's impacted the podcast. I mean, obviously, we haven't had nearly as much to talk about in certain weeks. Where we actually had 2 months where we were doing every other week for the most part.
A good majority of my movie watching is actually at the theater, and it has impacted my ability to sit down to watch something because, you know, when I'm home, I try to plan things around my partner, and sometimes my partner wants to sit down and watch something, and sometimes my partner doesn't want to sit down and watch something. So how am I supposed to manage these things if she's not in the mood? Well, it's a lot of things I just covered there. Anyhow, before I did this podcast, there was no way you'd catch me going to a movie by myself, but it was a habit that I started breaking, and I constantly was going by myself, and it actually became kind of relieving to be able to sit in the movie theater by myself and not have to worry about if the person I drag there with me is going to enjoy the movie or not, and I can just get into something and have fun.
Are you one of those people where if the person you're with doesn't like it, you have a hard time enjoying it?
I want to know that they're having as much fun as I am. You know, this is the kind of thing, you know, you go out with somebody and you're having a good time and you've got a big old smile on your face and you turn to the person next to you and they're just like, meh. That's some bullshit.
Yep. Yep. Don't hang out with people like that. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, honestly, if I'm with somebody and they're not enjoying the movie, I just tell them to leave me the hell alone. Get away from me. You know, whatever. pretend like you're enjoying it. Fake it. Because if I'm having a good time, I don't really need you to have a good time. I'll have one without you. It's just, but yeah, I do know people that have a really hard time enjoying a movie if people they're with don't enjoy it. Which to me, that means like maybe you're with the wrong people. Pick better friends to go to the movies with.
I get it.
All right. So we've got one Debbie Downer. That's old Kyle Nolan here. Said, this is the last one. Then we're going to move on to another question. I don't think they've changed that much in terms of his habits. They've been less new stuff on. So I've been able to catch up on a lot of stuff I had missed. Less new stuff. What the hell are you talking about? And we know Kyle, so it's okay. And also watch a lot more movies and streaming stuff. Before all this, I had been seeing 3 movies per week in the theater, but that was so much wasted downtime with travel, 30 minutes of ads, trailers before each film, waiting between films on double features, and waiting until the credits to see if any post scene. My time feels so much better utilized these days by avoiding all of that. Now, even though I disagree with pretty much everything he said, I will say this, because obviously that's just my opinion, and he is not alone in his opinion. I feel like there are a lot of people who would probably prefer it stay like this going forward. Now, that's kind of what I want to use that question to shift to you. Do you feel like a lot of these habits are going to remain for people that are enjoying the fact that they don't have to go to a theater anymore because they can see a lot of the stuff at home? Do you feel like it's going to go back once vaccines come in, or, you know, contagion goes down, whatever it is, once things get back to quote unquote normal?
I'm of the opinion that once people start feeling safer about doing things, we will start seeing things get pushed back to normal, as far as like going to a theater. So right now, the theater association doesn't have the kind of power that they once did have, because a lot of theaters aren't open. A lot of theaters can't show stuff. They're not, a lot of people aren't going, so they don't have a lot of room to negotiate as far as viewership is concerned. But once things do feel like they're going back to a closer to normal, I'm sure people will be convinced to leave. Like I was thinking about this earlier, because when we were having our conversation about, you and I were having a conversation about a possible trip coming up, and I said that this would be the year that I would make it to like South by, because I have spent so much time being cooped up and not going on any vacations this entire year, that next year, as soon as I can go someplace that is interesting, I was going to take it. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing is going to happen to a lot of people when they start feeling safer about going to the movies.
That's what I expect too. But I do think there are going to be a lot of people like Kyle who have adjusted to this change and prefer it, you know, and because streaming has really, really blown up over the last year and a half with all these different streaming networks and all this original content, for many people, they don't really need quote unquote blockbuster entertainment. They just want new original stuff that they can watch and they can enjoy. And there's so much content out there. I think many people could be happy by not going to the theater as much. I do think the theater is going to be much more strictly blockbuster fare than, even though it was already going that way, but even more so, right. It's going to be that way now. It's going to be really, really hard for an indie to break out in a theater again after this, I think.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who have said that they have no interest in ever going back to a movie theater. And anytime one of these companies puts out these $20 movies or $30 movies, they throw as much money down on it as possible and as fast as possible, because they're like, they think that that's going to help push this in the direction they want.
I can tell you, because, you know, we follow it quite religiously, very, 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 very few of those have been actual successes. And you need a lot more than a handful to make that the norm. You know, the reason why most studios are holding off on their movies is because they want theaters, because they'll make a lot more money off theatrical than they'll ever make doing the $20 rental deal.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. You think any of your habits are going to be permanent changes, or you're going to be the same way? Once they start opening theaters back up, you'll still be going back to the theater and maybe actually write a review on it again.
Well, I don't know about writing reviews. I mean, let's not put the cart before the horse on that one. But going to the theater is definitely something that I want to add back into my life.
Yeah, and I'm with you, man. I love going to the theater by myself. I really, really do. It's just, there's something about, that's like absolute immersion to me. Perfect immersion. Because I don't have to worry about anybody. Don't care about anybody. My eyes are only forward.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Okay, well, that's that topic. Let's move on. We've got some listener questions. We got four, I think. Yeah, four listener questions. First one is from Nate Bruce. He said, which two movies in the following list will be the biggest box office in terms of 2021? Godzilla vs. Kong, Black Widow, Ghostbusters, No Time to Die, Morbius, Top Gun, or Matrix 4? Which two movies are going to be the biggest box office?
My money is on Black Widow and No Time to Die.
Same here. Not betting against Bond or Marvel. Not doing it.
Yeah.
Not doing it. Let's see. You know what? We actually got Amanda's list. Do you guys want to know what she picked? Let's go ahead and peek. Mm-hmm. She said Top Gun and No Time to Die. Tom Cruise over Black Widow? I don't think so.
And that's Amanda saying it.
I know. Well, you know what? She does hate Tom Cruise. Maybe she knows something we don't.
Right.
I think she forgot that Miles Teller was in Top Gun, too. So automatically, it's going to lose box office. I think you lose $50 million every time Miles Teller's in a movie.
Is that kind of like every time a bell rings and Angel gets wings.
Yeah, kind of. It's like the opposite. He's always opposite day. That's what Miles Teller is. All right, Jennifer Miller, movies most people haven't heard of, but you highly recommend. John, what do you got?
Oh, right now I got nothing off the top of my head. I mean,
well, it's not like you didn't have this question ahead of time.
Well, I mean, I did. And I tried to think of something then, but I didn't have anything then. Oh, you know what? The Lie on Amazon. A lot of people haven't heard about it. They definitely need to go see that.
Okay. And John gets a D for preparation. I will say one I recommend as often as I can is Savior with Dennis Quaid. Many people have never even heard of that movie. It's a little bit older, but I love that film. The Wolf of Snow Hollow is a newer movie. And also Thunder Road. Both of those are by Jim Cummings. He's a great up-and-coming director. I was just recently, I rewatched an old 80s flick I love, which is called Vamp. I don't know if you saw that one, but no. It's a personal favorite of mine. It's really super cheesy. Shithouse is now on video on demand. Don't let the title fool you. It's a really sweet kind of Before Sunrise comedy. The Broken Hearts Gallery and Words on Bathroom Walls are both hitting home video now. Those were in theaters, but obviously didn't do very well because people haven't been going to theaters, but those are very good films. The Broken Hearts Gallery and Words on Bathroom Walls. Words on Bathroom Walls, I would say, is a great movie. Unhinged with Russell Crowe. If you're looking for a fun thriller to rent and watch with your family, watch Unhinged. Man, it's insane. Okay, Tracy Heinrichs, she says, I really need some more talk about how ridiculous and horrendous this year is. So what kind of movie would you make about 2020? And who would play lead roles?
I would make one of those found footage movies, but basically the security system of a house. And it would really be like a couple stuck in their house together going this again. So kind of like throw some Groundhog Day features to it.
Uh-huh.
And I just to make it so much more hard to watch, it would be Miles Teller and Miles Teller.
Oh, God. That's like a nightmare vision.
Yeah.
Ah, feels like 2020. All right. So I like that. It's interesting. Minus the casting. Casting's pretty bad. Basically, I'd combine 2012, 1984, and World War Z. So the world's coming to an end climate-wise. I mean, everything's shifting and falling apart. And, you know, it's awful. Earthquakes, fires, whatever. We can't save the people because of a broken-ass government. And zombies are taking all the toilet paper. That's my movie that I would make. And I'd cast Keanu Reeves because he's someone we could all root for. He's the hero. He's the hope. He's the dream. And our villain would be played by Miles Teller because no one's face represents 2020 more than Miles Teller.
Nobody's face.
Ha! I hope he doesn't listen to this. Actually, you know what? I don't care. Go ahead and listen. I mean, he's obviously free. All right, so Josh Steinman, last one. You're challenged with reviving, saving the career of your least favorite actor. What project would you personally handpick for them?
Kevin Spacey.
Okay. American Beauty 2.
Exactly. I was going to say a sequel to American Beauty.
Did you see the end of American Beauty?
I totally did.
How does that work? Is it just his funeral?
His funeral flashbacks, you get to see him with like, you know, all right, how do we make it so that you can view the body, you know, and that kind of thing.
John, I feel like you didn't prepare for this one again.
There's no actor I don't like.
Well, it sounds like Kevin Spacey's an actor you don't like.
Well, I mean, I try to go for the easiest one. You know, Seth Rogen, maybe Seth Rogen goes and like does a movie where he doesn't smoke pot while he's making it.
Okay. Well, obviously, I would pick Miles Teller. I mean, I feel like that's obvious.
I feel like you didn't try.
No. I planned this ahead of time, okay? And I don't know why. But there's just something about him that just sucks in general. And in order to revive or save his career, I would put him in a remake of I Am Legend, okay? Give him a chance to show that he can act, hold a movie on his own. He's got to own that movie. The only way that movie works is if his acting finally works. And if he sucks, at least he dies in the end. So it works out.
Now, would you do the Will Smith version? Or no, would you do an actual faithful remake of the book?
The book ending.
Ah.
Because I want him to know he's going to die and then just have a really not happy death.
Right.
You can't go out all heroic.
I can go down with that. You know, he sits there and finds out that he's actually the legend. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yep. Okay, so any recent recommendations before we head on out of here? It's been weird. I was looking forward to doing this with Amanda. We had a whole bunch of stuff planned. It would have worked better with three people. So really, I would recommend that everybody emails Amanda at amanda@thehollywoodoutsider.com and just tells her how disappointed they are that she can't pay her electric bill.
Yeah, I mean, who can't pay their electric bill?
20. Well, actually, we probably should make that just 20. Wrong year for that one. All right. Sorry.
It's not like we're dealing with Biden's taxes now.
Wow. Wow. Anything to recommend?
You know what? Like I said earlier, I've been watching the Titans. And if you like the Berlanti-esque kind of shows, then you will enjoy the Titans, I believe. The season is good. It's fun. A little heavy on the melodrama, but it pays off when you start getting into season two, I believe.
Okay. I will say The Undoing on HBO, if you haven't been watching that, that's a really interesting show. It's unfolding fantastically, and I want to know where it's going. I don't want to say too much, but it's Nicole Kidman as a wife who's learning a lot of things about her husband, and it's getting really, really good. I don't want to spoil anything. And season three of Killing Eve is finally on Hulu. I wait until it's streaming because I'm not watching commercials, and I can't wait to finish it. It's been fantastic already. Villanelle is my spirit animal.
Well, that's nice. You know, speaking of your spirit animal, I've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty.
How is that my spirit animal?
Well, because for some reason, Rick on Rick and Morty reminds me of you if you had a little bit more of a drinking problem and were like 100% smarter.
Okay, so you just called me a boring idiot, I think.
No.
100% smarter, therefore not smart, and had more of a drinking problem, so I'm boring, because I'm just, well, maybe drinking's fun to me.
No, see, you don't understand what Rick is. So Rick is 100% the smartest person in the universe.
Wow. All right. I kind of like this.
But he's also like a drug-addled, alcoholic asshole who takes his nephew on adventures and gets everyone killed 100% of the time. But he also doesn't give a shit because he's drunk and he's an asshole. So, yeah, that's what...
So I'm the sober version of that guy?
You're the sober, not like super genius version of that guy.
See, I'm the sober idiot version of that guy. That's what I just said.
What a dick. But if you were to watch a cartoon, I think you should start watching that one, because there's this great one on season four about heist movies and how stupid they are.
I gotta
watch. And it works watch really well.
I've heard Rick and Morty is hilarious, and I have not. I total host fail. I haven't watched it, and I really should.
You know what? I don't normally go for these the kind of cartoons where people are purposely being assholes. Like South Park is one where I can't get into it. This is one of those shows where the characters are more or less purposely being assholes, and I'm kind of okay with it.
All right. Well, share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group. We're on Twitter @BuyPopcorn. We'll be back next week as well. You can email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com if you like. Please rate and subscribe us on your preferred podcast app. You can find John's artwork on Insta and Twitter @rjohndraws, Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows, and the Smirk podcast, which is back. So you can find new episodes of Smirk on your podcast app. And she's also on Twitter @SinkIntoThis. And I'm on The Blacklist Exposed, coming back this week and presenting Hitchcock. And I'm also @AaronSmirks on Twitter. And now time for the whole teachable minute. In 1 minute or less, John, tell us something you learned from the movie or TV over the past week.
I've been watching Titans, and what I learned this week is that people don't take you seriously when you casually mention that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a lot, like the one, if I were to have a gripe about Titans, it's how freely everyone mentions out in public within earshot of people how Bruce Wayne is Batman, and nobody just stops and goes, wait a minute, Bruce Wayne is Batman? What the hell? Like, it doesn't happen. And in my experience with the comics and other media, the most guarded thing in comic book history is the fact that Bruce Wayne is Batman. And yet you've got Robin, the Boy Wonder, walking around mentioning it to people like it's freaking Chiclets. It's basically, to me in this show, it's like Superman's glasses. It shouldn't work.
Really?
But it does.
I didn't know that, because I haven't watched it yet, but I didn't know it was on HBO Max until you told me this episode, so I'm definitely going to check that out. But So they're treating it like the Tony Stark secret? Like, where he's just like, I am Iron Man.
No, no, no. They don't treat it like that at all. They actually treat it as if nobody else knows who Batman is, but the
everybody's
characters...
Everybody's talking about it.
But everyone talks about it.
Is it like gossip? Or is it just like, psst, you know he's Batman, right? When they just say it really
no,
loud.
No, no, no. It's like Robin goes and meets up with Hawk and Dove, and they're like, well, how's Bruce doing? And he's dressed like Robin, so...
But yeah, why wouldn't they call him by his superhero name?
Right.
These guys suck at covert.
Exactly.
That's too bad. But you know what? To be fair, in the movies, everybody he dates knows that he's Batman. And I gotta tell you, anybody that has had a girlfriend that did not work out, there's no way she's keeping that secret. There's no way.
No.
He would be ratted out as soon as that thing went south.
Oh, especially if it's a billionaire, she'd be going to freaking Access Hollywood or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, the Inquirer being like, guess who dresses up like a bat for fun? And I'm not talking about a furry either.
There's no way that secret lives. All you would see, because in order to maintain a secret, is, well, another young, attractive woman was found dead in a ditch last week. That's the only way that secret stays.
Batman is on the case to figure out.
Batman's investigating. Don't worry. He'll find him.
You know, Batman's kind of either really bad at his job, or I don't understand why he can't figure out which one of these supervillains are killing all these pretty women.
I think that's going to do it. Remember the next time you had to do a theater, guys, buy popcorn.
And don't talk about Batman.